Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTeo along with the legendary.
Legendary.
Herb Tyler here. We're at 3535 Perkins Road, Acme Oyster House. The doors will open up at 11 o'clock, so if you're in the area, come on by at around 11. And
yes,
man, they got great food and drink specials here at Acme. Also, we got TVs surrounding us. I've got about 16 of them, I guess. You can watch all the games right here, and you can watch certainly LSU, Ole Miss, but you can watch it, but keep your dial tuned into the Big 870. WWL will give you all the coverage from the home team. Chris Blair, Jacob Hester will give you the call starting at 2:30
yes, sir.
This afternoon, and we'll finish up about 12:30, and we'll pass it on to Hunt along with Fave and the rest of their gang, and he can handle that till about 2 o'clock.
Yeah, he got it.
This afternoon, and we'll hand it off to him. Also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond. On a sad note, I want to bring it up because he's been a great part of the WWL family. Hanky Trapp, he lost his daughter this morning, Alisa. She passed away, I guess, around 9 o'clock. Lisa was married to Wilson Alexander. Many of you have heard him here on the Big 870 WWL. Wilson covers the LSU Tigers for the Baton Rouge Morning Advocate, Times-Picayune. So our heart and prayers certainly go out to the Trapp family, along with Wilson. She'd been fighting something, but once it catch you, oh man, it's bad.
Yeah.
And she had thought she had maybe overcome it. And man, she's tough. She was a tough gal. It stroke her back again and really, really sad situation. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the Trapp family, along with Wilson Alexander, who is great young talent as a writer. And also, he's like I said, he's been here with us on WWL so many times. And actually thought about giving him a call to come on with us this weekend.
Yeah.
But I knew Alisa had was not in the best of health. So our prayers go out to the Trapp family. Herb, LSU Ole Miss, we have not been in this spot. You and I weren't born yet. I know I wasn't. 1959, the last time these two teams were undefeated, untied.
Yep.
And but that was late in October, Halloween night.
That's right.
Billy Cannon's run, memorable run. A lot of people, they're a certain age, they remember. It was Cannon and Johnny Robinson's stop. Ole Miss was driving. They were inside the 5-yard line, and they made a stop defensively. And ended up winning that game 7-3. Boy,
that's
if you'd
right.
had to end in that game, you'd have been really good.
That's right.
Even back then. you know, with Billy, certainly was a character for so many years before he passed away. He would do a show with us once or twice a year. Man, talk about some storytelling. Billy got him. Now, how much of it was accurate or stretched a rubber band? But Billy had him, and, man, he was an unbelievable character, great player at LSU winning – first guy to ever win the Heisman Trophy at LSU. And then we've seen it pretty quick afterwards over the years, certainly with Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels. But, memorable moments, LSU, Ole Miss.
That's right. So, you know, Billy was an icon, and he's the pinnacle of what every LSU player was trying to reach after 1959 when he won, you know, after he won the Heisman Trophy. And with that, though, being said, Billy lived a full, prosperous, happy life everywhere. And one of the greatest things about Billy was the fact that
he never hid either issues that
from
he had.
No.
Never hid from that.
He faced them, right on, and he stood up, and he stuck his chest out, and he held his head up high. And he also, one of the things that he did that I thought was great, because, you know, two of the most used emotions in human beings are, one, reconciliation, and the second one is embarrassment. And out of those things that he did, he could have been embarrassed with the things that he did, but he didn't. He faced them head on. And then also in that, his reconciliation and what he was doing was, you know, going to Angola prison 3 days a week and doing dentistry work over there late in his life was absolutely phenomenal. And that is something that you cannot take away from him. And that's the way that you give back to the community in any which way that you can. And Billy was magnificent. I remember meeting Billy when I was, I think, a sophomore, a junior in college. And he was just open arms, really, you know, really energetic, talking to me and just asking me all kinds of questions about who I was, where I came from, you know, who my family was and what were my aspirations and goals in life and things like that. And I thought that was really interesting because he had no reason to want to know any of those things, but he wanted to, and he wanted to engage, and he wanted to know me better. And so we forged a really great relationship while I was at LSU. And his daughter, Bunny, is really awesome. I love her to death. She's really great, too. But this LSU-Ole Miss matchup is a matchup kind of like we were talking about LSU-Auburn. It's going to be one of those, you know, fight to the end battles. These two teams always play each other really well, and there's a love hate all of those different things.
It was a hate.
It's a little bit of all of it because they have family members on both sides, so they love and then they hate and then they hate love and then they hate and then they love hate, all of those. So however the combinations work out, it's there, because you know the short drive from Baton Rouge to Oxford is not. It's not that long of a drive, but it is a really short line to those two universities where there's a lot of most of the people that go to either one have families on both sides. So it's going to be really fun to watch this game, and I think LSU is going to be tested big time when it comes to can they keep up with the scoring. Now, right now, you know, obviously LSU is number four, number three in whatever poll you look at, and Ole Miss is 12-13, whatever they look like, but Ole Miss is favored by a point and a half. That's kind of disrespectful for LSU, but at the same time, I see what Vegas is looking at. Can LSU keep up with the scoring that we believe or they believe that Ole Miss is going to be able to put up? But here's the thing. Can Ole Miss defense – offense put up the points against LSU's defense.
Styles make the fight.
That's right.
And you see it here with Ole Miss, a high-powered offense.
Yep.
Going up against one of the best defenses in college football. You can certainly put to the test with this. And the biggest test for Blake Baker's defense all season long, the way Ole Miss can hit you a lot of different ways. And I think the hidden part with Lane Kiffin's offense is that they really do want to run the football.
Always.
Everybody talks about they throwing it.
Always.
So, man, you better corral Kawan Lacy.
Yep.
And especially near the goal line, red zone. Lacy's already got 7 touchdowns this season.
Yep.
So you understand, a little bit like Josh Heupel. People talk about the offense and the pitch and catch part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about who was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year last year. Dylan Sampson, the running back from right down the road from
right.
where we at.
Tennessee, right?
And yep. he goes to Tennessee, and he was a dominant running back there.
He was great.
Ends up being an early round pick of the Browns.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you got to have that balance, and I think you'll see that today. We'll talk a lot more about Trinidad because that is a great story for Lane Kiffin. to find him at Ferris State, where he won, and he won big there.
Yep.
But because of his size, and we'll talk more about it, yep. and you would understand that, they looking for the 6'3", 6'4" guy.
There's a number.
Not the 6 foot or under guy.
There's a magic number that they start when it comes to quarterback these days, and they say, if you're not this number, we're not recruiting you. There's literally a thing like that. Now, there's people like Lane Kiffin who says, if you're not that number, but you can excel like anybody that's that number or greater, it doesn't matter. Let me go ahead and give you a shot. Now, we were talking about Ole Miss's offense over the past four games. Now, they played Georgia State, they played Kentucky, they played Arkansas, and they played Tulane. Against Arkansas, Ole Miss won 41-35. So we know Ole Miss has some holes in their defense, as we always know that. However, against Georgia State, Ole Miss put up 63 points. Against Tulane, they put up 45. And also against Arkansas, they put up 41. And so, against Kentucky, they put up 30. So we're going to see. They played two SEC teams. And I don't know if they're really as good as what it looks like. So I don't know if they've truly been tested yet. I think tonight or today is going to show whether or not Ole Miss's offense can really put up the points against a quality, top five, top 10 defense in LSU.
I think is when you have a guy that can move around the pocket like Trinidad Cad.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things is you better put a spy. I think mm-hmm. I know who's going to be that spy today. That Harold Perkins guy, I think, is going to be the one. And I think with Blake, they are going to try to confuse Trinidad and maybe giving him a couple of three different looks that maybe he hasn't seen before.
Yeah.
But LSU secondary, I think, is really – if you were to write the season today – it's been about how good the secondary has improved 100%. From a year ago.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that gives Lane Kiffin's problems is, different looks on the defense every series. And I think he has an issue with trying to be able to combat that and then maybe switch some things up and make adjustments as needed. And so I think Blake Baker, going into this game, knowing what happened to him last year with quarterbacks such as Trinidad, he ain't having that this game. He's going to spy him. He's going to show different things to try to confuse him, but at the same time, try to keep him in the pocket as much as he can and keep him from going outside and making those incredible plays that he can make with his feet by, luring guys in and then throwing the ball or just running the football and doing what he needs to do. With that being said, I just think that Blake Baker's going to have one of his best game plans versus a dual threat quarterback like Trinidad. And then in Ole Miss, I see Ole Miss trying to do a little bit of everything, run the football, throw the ball a little short and underneath so they can open up the big play down the field. And I also think that they're going to do a lot of crossing routes underneath. I don't see them not doing that. And I think Lane Kiffin's going to do what Lane does is try to have a bunch of different looks and try to play action, things like that, off of from LSU, so to kind of get them off of their feet as well. So
we'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillia along with Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. The doors will be open up at 11 a.m. Hey, we'll have a lot more Tiger Tailgating right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, where Herb Tyler and myself, we're at Acme Oyster House on Perkins Road. Mm-hmm. Doors will open up at 11 a.m., so lunch crowd will be kicking in pretty soon. Hey, come on by here. They have great food and drink specials, surround sound TV, and if you want to watch LSU Ole Miss, come on by to Acme Oyster House. And again, we want to thank our presenting sponsor of Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond. I think the matchup today is, if you watched LSU Tulane and Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss's defensive backs, they almost like they had Velcro on the Tulane receivers. There was no opening anywhere. Ratzlaff a couple times had time to throw. It was nobody open.
Nobody open.
It was Velcro. Mm-hmm. You look at LSU across the board. I think the strongest area for this football team, wide receiver and tight end.
Agreed.
How do you match up against those DBs of Ole Miss? I think that's, to me, the matchup to watch today.
I agree. I don't disagree with that. I think that the problem has been, I'm not saying problem, but we've seen in some cases where LSU's receivers haven't been creating separation. Ole Miss's defensive backs are really good with footwork and hip play. What I mean by hip play is they can turn and move and run with the best of them. So today I think what LSU has to do is they have to take a moment and they have to figure out who they are, gut check. Because last week, too many drops. Way too many drops in the game by the receivers from LSU. So this week, I challenged them. They should be challenging themselves to have zero drops, to create separation, make plays even when the pass is not perfect, and do something with the football in their hands once they catch it. And so I think that's going to be key. What do they do and how do they do it? I don't know, but I will say this. It's going to be fun to watch because I know they're going to try it. They're going to try everything they can try to make it happen. Now, the other thing is that's a key, of course, and we've been pounding this horse all year. Can we create some lanes for the running back to run the football? And we talked about that, though. It's easy to blame the offensive line. However, when you look at other guys that are playing the running back position in college football right now, that are playing at a high level, when you see their shoulders square up, they slice through that hole. They're going through that hole with, you know, meaning business, you know, like a freight train going through there. Our guys, for some reason, we're just kind of, you know, lollygagging behind the line and not really seeing the crease and hitting it. They run right into the backs of some lineman instead of doing something different. Just go find something else. So I don't know what's the deal with that, and I don't know if they're supposed to go to this spot. And they're trained to go to this spot, trained to go to this spot, trained to go to that spot, when literally the next hole over or the next hole to the right or left is there for you to take, and they're not taking it. So, for me, I think it's a combination of both. I think it's the offensive line as well as the running backs not seeing, having the vision to see the hole and then the crease the hole, as we call it.
I think one of the things, and we'll see it today, highly doubtful Caden Durham's going to play today.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing.
So you're going to see a lot of Juwan Johnson. You're going to see a lot of Harlan Berry.
Caleb.
Mm-hmm. Even Zaven. I think you're going to see him. It's going to be running, really, truly running back by committee. We'll talk a little bit more about it in our next segment with Brian Holland from NBC 33 and Fox 44 in Baton Rouge.
Yep.
But I think that's the intrigue of this, of you just can't have Nussmeier throwing the football 40-something times a game. That ain't a winning formula for LSU.
No, no, no.
It's not.
If they do that, that's going to create probably 3 to 5 interceptions a game, too.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
And you know, it's so funny because he makes some really great decisions, and then at times he makes some really poor decisions. And so I agree with you, and I think the LSU – offensive coordinators have been doing a great job of kind of mixing up the run and the pass and sticking with the run, even though, you know, it hasn't been successful in the way that it looks, you know, in breaking off big runs and things of that nature. However, if they can average 3 to 4 yards a rush, I'm good with that all day long. I'm good with that all day long because now they're ahead of the chains and they can always, you know, maybe throw the ball underneath and get a first down, things of that nature. But I will say this, there's no way they're going to allow Nuss to throw the ball 50 times a game. They can't do it.
No, because it you're going to lose.
No.
You're going to lose in that spot. If it comes down to a kick, I think about this, because, you know, we think a lot of Ramos, and he's done, a really good job at LSU. But, boy, does Ole Miss have a kicker in Cornero. Man, Lucas Cornero was just a junior. Thank goodness. I think we won't see him again next year because he looked like he's going to be one of those NFL-type kickers. And one day, I wouldn't be surprised to see Lane tell him, hey, kid, get in there and go kick that 62 or 64-yard field goal. Man, he's got a leg foot. He isn't the biggest guy around, but, boy, he's got a swing. And so I just think in these games where it's tight, special teams play or a missed field goal or a fumbled punt or a big return, that is going to be the deciding factor. I always think in these really, really tight games, special teams really come into focus.
Yeah, who's going to make a mistake in one of the three phases of the game, right, and allow something to happen? So whether it be a fumble or intercept or something like that, that where the defense creates a pick six or a fumble recovery for a touchdown, and or if they're allowing a punt return or a kick return for some sort of a big play in, you know, field position or even a touchdown. And I really like LSU's chances in this because, you know, LSU has some really great returners when it comes to returning the football with punt and kickoff. Now, when you start talking about, the kick game and field goals, Ole Miss does have a really strong leg kicker. Now, here's the thing with that. I think you're going to see a couple of long field goals by Ole Miss attempts because I would think that LSU's defense would get them into a position where they would stifle them, and then they would have to either kick the field goal or, knowing Lane, that does he go for it on fourth down? And it just depends on where they are in the game and what the situation is. And it's going to be really, really fun to watch this game and to try to see exactly what's going on with this situation. And it's, for me, I really hope that LSU comes out and they play the way they've been playing on defense. I hope that they make this next step on offense. And what I mean by that is mixing it up really well, being able to, quote, control the line of scrimmage, being able to run the football, not using Xavier Thomas as much with the little trick stuff and that kind of stuff, but really just mano a mano, go out there and push some people around. And let's see if we can get the right mix and match on the offensive line to be able to do that.
I would hope so, and I think it'll be a real test for them to try to run the football today, because I think that's Ole Miss's deal. Hey, if we're going to get beat, Nussmeier's going to do it. We're not letting you run it. We're going to stop the run first and put a lot of pressure on Garrett Nussmeier.
Let's see how creative Coach Sloan can get with the run game and see what he can do.
When we come back, we'll have on with us Brian Holland. You see him and hear him on NBC 33, Fox 44. Absolutely does a great job.
Yep.
Sports director, anchor here in Baton Rouge, talking to us about the LSU Tigers in a huge game. SEC and back-to-back SEC big games. LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia. Hey, you know better than that.
No.
We'll be back with more of our Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTellier along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll have the doors open here at 11 a.m. Got a lot of great food and drink specials here at Acme. And also, you can watch all the games, surround sound, TV, all around you here at Acme Oyster House on Perkins Road. It's Inside the Tiger Den segment, brought to you each and every week by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we just getting started. On our talk line, we have with us sports director and anchor from NBC 33 and Fox 44, Brian Holland. Brian, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, fellas, you guys are actually just across the road from me, the TV station.
What?
That's right.
What, man? Then you could have crossed the road and come over here. We might open the door even for you. That's the type of guys we are.
That's right, Brian. We got you, baby. We got you.
So after 11, come on by, man. We'll take care of you.
Love it.
Feed you a little bit. How about that? Brian, Herb and I were talking about this due to the injury to Caden Durham. It would be interesting to see how this gets laid out for the running game. You cannot ask Nussmeier to throw the football 45 times in a game. Don't. That's a losing formula for LSU. They've got to be able to find a running game. And do you expect that kind of the bell cow tonight is going to be Juwan Johnson?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to get creative with it. And I think that's something that we haven't seen at all in the last three games. And I don't think they've had to. It's been weird for me watching from the press box at home, or, you know, obviously you're in Baton Rouge, I should say, and kind of seeing them run into a bunch of heavy boxes. But that's what they've been doing. And I think they've just been, you know, getting rid of the deception, getting rid of some of the basic things that they do really, really well and that we kind of started seeing against Clemson. And they just kind of did away with the creativity. So I think you're going to see Berrian Brown also get back there and them kind of use some of those wide receivers and some of the deception. I think a lot of that creativity is going to come back into play calling. I'm not quite sure why. I mean, I think I know why. I mean, Brian Kelly likes to overmanage some games, especially when you talk about Florida. But I think you're going to see a lot more creativity in the running game as well.
You got to cover him in high school. I know you you and Chessa both talked a lot about Caleb Jackson and what he brings to the table. It's just never really clicked for him, Brian.
Nope.
For whatever reason, and he might go somewhere else and might end up being a star back, but it's just never kind of hit all the connected dots here at LSU as a runner for him.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was it Vanderbilt? And Joe Burrow had a protection bust with a freshman running back, not going to name any names.
Uh-oh.
He looked at the sideline and goes, get this guy out of here. So the thing with running back coaches, certainly, the word is trust. You have to be able to trust those guys can come in and in any situation not limit you in the play calling, not limit you in the passing game. Because you can't just have someone go in there and then the defensive coordinator goes, well, they're just going to run the ball now. So it's about trust when you have protections and that running back there with you alongside the quarterback.
Yeah.
I think the matchup, Herb and I talked about this too, is I think the strongest area for LSU, if you look top to bottom, wide receiver, tight end, going up against the Ole Miss secondary, and that was a lot of question marks going into the season.
Yep.
But I watched the replay of the Tulane Ole Miss game. It looked like they had Velcro. I mean, Tulane's receivers couldn't get open at all. Now, again, that's a jump from what LSU's got at wideout. I think that's the thing to watch.
Yeah.
Get some separation. Yeah. And we know that Nussmeier likes to throw the short pass and then have those guys turn it up the field and take off. And today you got Tre'Davious Green. And I think that's a big, big factor, a plus factor for LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the big fellow back. And I think, just like I talked about creativity in the running game and getting more guys involved, I think you're going to see more guys in the pattern as well and more in the screen game. That was obviously the thing that really kind of jumped up off the page against Clemson. It opened some things up because you guys know this. I mean, you widen the field, well, then you lengthen the field. And so that's what you kind of, you set them up to go long. And so if you see Berrian Brown and some of those guys also win out there in some of the screen game and some of that as well, I think you can expect number three to be running down the sideline in the second half because the safety is obviously going to creep up, try and help in the running game, try and help in the screen game, and then you can bust him over the top. So early on, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to be kind of a boxing match that first quarter, I think. I don't think, you know, if you're looking for a first half over-under, I think maybe people are going to be feeling each other out there. Yep. And especially with, the defense and how well they've been playing, they're going to come in with a lot of confidence. I don't expect a lot of scoring early, but maybe the fireworks come out late, fellas, because you're setting them up for that second half, that the body blows all of a sudden turn into uppercuts.
Yeah, Brian, you're talking about the over-under. I'm going to talk a little bit or ask you a question about the spread. So right now, Ole Miss is favored 1.5 points. The problem we got is, and I think I know why, right? This old spooky daytime game for the LSU Tigers. Can you talk a little bit about that and what does that mean? A 2:30 game where normally LSU plays at night, 7 o'clock, 6:30, that kind of stuff. There's no problems. We're good, whatever. We're away, 2:30 at Ole Miss, bright sunshiny day. What do you think is going to happen?
You know, I'll tell you why. Gamblers, heavy gamblers,
mm-hmm.
bet trends. Home team has won the last four games.
Yep.
There you go. Ole Miss playing at home is one thing, but gamblers bet trends, mm-hmm. especially heavy gamblers. Not that I would know, Brian, but I'm just telling you from secondhand knowledge, if you get my drift.
Some might say, right? Like, I've heard
that's
it from
true.
Some friends.
That's it.
Yeah, I think there's something to, obviously, the 11 o'clock game. You know, we saw, of course, them do yep. the calisthenics in the parking lot on the way to Mississippi State 2 years ago, right? Like,
yeah.
he was asked yep. about that this week, and he said, look, we're not doing any of those shenanigans. We're going to light it up. We're going to hit him in the mouth. So, 2:30 p.m., I don't think it's as big of a deal. But, you know, I can understand, you know, some of the LSU fans sitting at home going, like, we've seen this before. I mean, same with the Vaught, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've been to plenty of games at the Vaught, and it's like, man, why is this a house of horrors all of a sudden, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It has something to do with Lane Kiffin, certainly in that offense. You got to play a certain way. So I think it's going to be interesting. You know, like they say, styles make fights. And I think the one advantage that LSU has, and I cringe when I say advantage, but look, Brian Kelly has tried to overmanage the last three ball games, and I think there's a point to that. He didn't want anything out. He didn't really want to show anything else. It felt like the whole toolbox was open against Clemson. So if you're looking at this from an LSU glasses point of view, when you have the purple and gold on, I think you think maybe, like, look, this offense is capable of what you need it to do in stepping up to the moment when you need to score 35-40. So you've got that in the back, but I would have certainly liked to have seen it in practice out there to at least make Lane Kiffin prepare for some of these things. But I think that they've just kind of packed it in. They knew that they had the game against Florida, and like I said, they ran into some heavy fronts, and they ran the ball, they managed the ball game, and they said, we're going to take the entire playbook when we need it in a game like this. And you heard Brian Kelly in postgame get a little angry a couple weeks ago about saying, like, hey, you know, when we need to score 40, we will score 40. And he's pretty confident, so I think that's one of these games. One, you're going to learn, is the defense for real? Is DBU actually back? And two, can this offense do it when called upon?
Yeah, Brian, it's so funny. In the offseason, I meet up with Corey Raymond. He was like, hey, Money Mike, let me tell you something. If my DBs don't play better this year, they can run me off. I got some talent back there. And he was talking about the transfer guys, and Seward Delane, and then, you know, A.J. Halsey and Tamarcus Cooley.
Yep.
And, man, D.J. Pickett coming in from the high school ranks, number one ranked cover cornerback in the country. That, to me, has been the story this season. How much improvement we have seen from that secondary. And the crazy stat, what was against Florida? Spears had 9 plays, and he had 2 interceptions, and he played 9 total plays.
Yeah.
But 2 of them were pickoffs.
Were pickoffs, that's right.
Yeah, and the other thing that I also love is, you know, you have the up-and-comer, the young pup, who you go, hey, there's a lot of potential. But he's actually making it to the field, guys. Like, with all of that talent. I mean, with all that talent, D.J. Pickett is on the field a lot. And so now you're going to find out, okay, they can do it. They can do it against SEC talent. Can they do it for 85 plays? Because I covered the air raid out at Texas Tech. I covered some of those explosive offenses. Like, look, it was 60 to 56, right? Or 63-56 on, you know, any given Saturday in the Big 12. Well, you're just trying to wear them down. The first quarter doesn't really matter. The third and the fourth quarter, almost like the old Big Ten offenses where they tried to wear you out up front and let the big maulers just get after you. They're not going to get you in the first quarter. They'll get you in the late third and early fourth. That's when the fatigue sets in. That's when the experience and the chemistry really shows through. Yes, they can do it. They can do it. But can you do it for 80 plays if Lane Kiffin gets there? And I think that's where Brian Kelly – yes – he has to manage this game. They've got to run the ball so that your defense isn't out there that much. But you also have to have the guys back there to have that experience and the know-how to manage one of those games as well.
Brian, thanks so much for joining us on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Always love when you come on, brother. Great stuff, and we appreciate it.
All right, fellas. I'll see you across the street pretty soon.
All righty, man. We appreciate it. Brian Holland, who's a sports director, anchor, NBC 33 and Fox 44, does a great job covering the scene here in Baton Rouge.
Yes, he does.
Him and Miss Chessa, they do a good tag team job together covering the Baton Rouge and LSU scene. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We also want to thank, because it was our Inside the Tiger Den segment, and that's brought to you weekly by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one right after this break. Back here at the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with Herb Tyler here.
That's right.
We're at 3535 Perkins Road, Acme Oyster House. Come on by and visit us. We'll be on until 12:30 this afternoon. We also want to thank MAP Construction, our presenting sponsor, MAP Built, Build Beyond. And got a surprise today because we got the boss.
The CEO.
CEO here at Acme, Monique Ritchie. Monique, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes.
Really appreciate it that you're here. You got
five locations
right here in Baton Rouge, though, is really big. We've talked about it in the past before, but so much we see today is convenience in cooking.
Sure.
And you've opened up that door with, you've teamed up with Revelry.
Revelry is the official tailgate partner for LSU.
Yep.
We've also, Acme's been a sponsor of LSU for 15 plus years, so it was an easy partnership with them. You know, Revelry does the tents and the sofas and the TVs. It's the tailgating that I did not have in college, but it is great. It's awesome.
Look
I love
you're bringing it. Down.
We are, and we are That's bringing right. the food. We're bringing the bars, the char grilled stations. It's fun. We started doing it last year. I think we're so excited about this year. We've had a really good time. We're looking forward to all the home games, and it's fancy tailgating. It's awesome.
Where is it on campus?
It's right by the Patrick F. Taylor building.
Gotcha.
So it's pretty close to the stadium, and it wraps the entire building, depending upon how big of a game it is. Yep. But
Alabama last year.
Ooh. Alabama and Ole Miss. Those were two huge games. And, you know, we actually did a hospitality tent during the Ole Miss game. That was fun. You know, they bring out all the stops. Revelry does a really great job. I know they're sold out for Texas A&M, which is awesome, but lots of other home games to have fun and get your tailgate, and please let Acme Oyster House cater it. We are happy to do so.
So how can they contact you?
They can go to revelryteams.com.
Okay.
They can book everything through there, or they can go to acmeoyster.com and get their tailgate. And you don't have to just do Revelry. You can also, we can cater anything everywhere. It doesn't have to be through that. We're doing it every day, 7 days a week. We're also doing some really good menu items during the LSU games and the Saints games. We have $5 bites and $15 beer buckets. So we're your place to come watch football. Get full. Drink some beers, have some fun, bring the family. It's great. We got TVs everywhere.
What other events do you guys cater, things like that as well?
We do holiday parties. We do weddings. We do office parties. You name it, we'll say yes, and we'll figure out how to do it.
Yeah,
so,
awesome.
Yeah, we enjoy it. We enjoy, especially our staff enjoys going out to different places. And, you know, working in the restaurant is always good, but getting out and meeting people and being in the community is even better.
It's even better.
I know last year we did it around Christmas time. We had a few people say, I got to get in touch with them because, you just had enough turkey and ham, maybe.
Right.
You know, the traditional, give me the seafood instead, and I don't have to cook. No,
right.
I'll order that. So that also must be a part of what you're trying to fill that void.
Yeah, I mean, we do everything. We have gumbo, we have jambalaya, red beans. We have all the New Orleans classics that really are crowd pleasers. So we make it easy. Pick up and go. We'll deliver it. We'll do it. Whatever you got. We'll do it all.
We'll make it happen.
We'll make it happen. Yeah. So
we like it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, LSU season, Saturdays in Louisiana are the best days, in my opinion. And
yeah.
It's the best.
And baseball season starting, that's another deal.
It's cranking up. Yep.
Coach Jay has got it cooking and a lot of expectations this year.
That's right.
This is a really talented LSU baseball team. And you can say, could they repeat? Yes,
they could.
That makes it great for the area, though. I do think when you win, because a lot of people, y'all talk too much sports. Y'all ought to talk about education. Herb want to talk. Okay, we could talk about it.
Yes, we could.
But we're not going to change
it's
anything.
It's not as exciting.
But my thing about this is that when you have a winning team, if it's LSU, if it's with the Saints, whoever, that opens up things for people. You're in the hotel motel business, you're in the catering business,
everything,
you can feel it.
Everything here,
we feel it in the restaurant,
right?
When the teams are doing good, everybody feels good.
Yes.
They want to come, they want to hang.
Yep.
It's electrifying, you know. So
and it brings everybody together.
It does.
For one cause.
That's right.
And sometimes today, that's difficult.
That's right.
Everybody pulling on the same kind of part of the road.
Without a doubt.
I see you got your two little bosses over
Rosie.
Here.
I got my Rosie. I got my Max. You know, they're making sure mom's doing her job. Still getting used to that, you know, that whole new title. But we're embracing it, and it's exciting, you know. I asked Rosie if she wanted to come on and say, go Tigers. But she said, no, Mom, of course I don't want to come over and do that.
Now, we know you're training her to be the next CEO. What about Max?
Max?
Well, she's already the kind of CEO.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. She's in training.
The way I see things
CEO in training.
Max is training to be the next superhero.
He wants
to be the next Spider-Man. That's his goal.
I like it. Good job, Max. I love it, buddy.
That is great.
That's awesome.
But you grew up an LSU fan.
Yeah, I did. So
you got to be thrilled about how the season has went so far.
Oh, it's so much fun. Every game they win, it's great for us.
Yes.
I mean, it's hanging out with family. Just cooking good food, and when they win, it's, I don't know, it's like a tradition. It's good. You wake up on Sunday and you're like, man, that was a good Saturday. That was
That's
a great
right.
Saturday.
Yes.
And especially when the weather's like this, I mean, you don't get any more ideal fall football season than the way it feels right now.
Absolutely. I wish it was a little cooler, but
I'll take this.
I'm good with this too. I'm with you on that, because it could be 10
nice.
Degrees higher. Right.
Come on, Herbie.
This is nice.
Yeah, listen, come on. I saw some pictures you had took when it snowed. Wasn't that a great experience,
though? That was
though?
So much fun. Oh, that was a blast.
Wait, it was fun for that one day. That's it. We don't need that.
I agree.
I didn't
get
need all of that.
We don't
I didn't
need
get
all
into
that.
Semantics for the week.
It was
I'm
magical.
Just saying,
Mike,
the after effects
what I had
wasn't
to do
good.
For my dog to go out and to go use it.
Okay.
I can't do that again, Mike. I cannot do it.
24 hours was good. Hour 48, we were all like, all right.
Yeah, this
we'll
is enough of that.
You're not a good dog owner if you didn't clear that path for that dog. Come on,
Herb. I did it.
You got to straighten that out for
I
that.
I said I did it. I just don't want to do it again. That's all I'm saying. I enjoy just opening the door and letting it go. She can make it happen.
Right. Southerners are not meant for that kind of snow.
And it was a powdery snow.
Was
it wasn't even the kind you could make a really good snowman with.
No, but it was really nice. But then it's the after effects of, okay, we're not used to having this on our streets, roads, everything else. And it shuts down. Everything shuts down.
Everything shut down.
Well,
we're not equipped for that kind of stuff, you know?
Well, it's a good thing I got a Ford F-150 aluminum body with the 4x4 on it, and it sit up kind of high, and it's really, you know, it's a really nice vehicle. I was able to drive everywhere.
Yeah, you were the guy. You were chauffeuring everybody around, it sounds like.
That's right.
I was good with my Chevy Colorado, too. I could get around. But it was so funny. You got in there, man. I cranked it up, and it has on there possible ice on the road. And no possible.
Impossible. It's on the road.
It's on the road.
It's on the
that
road.
Ice is there for sure. I'm here to tell you.
That's right. No, that was good. Great. That was
but
great.
Again,
for one day, that's it. We don't want it.
So, yeah, but, man, I could go through that again before
Give us a few years. Because you got to remember, it shuts down everything, and which means it shuts down your business. It shuts down our business as well. I don't want all of that, Mike. I don't have time for that. I got to go to work.
Come on. You got to have some kid in you.
You got to go
come
to work.
On. I do. On Saturdays and for LSU, I have all the kid I need in me right there.
Well, you're hanging around with me, so it's kiddie-like.
Right.
That sort of thing. But here, you've also expanded the menu.
We have.
Yes.
And
we
so
have.
Tell us a little bit about that. If maybe somebody hasn't been here in a little while, if it's been here in Baton Rouge or in the city in New Orleans and Metairie, whatever.
We're, one thing we started doing last month, it's a $10 po' boy, which is really fun. So it gives us a chance to be creative with food items that we have.
Yep.
Right
yep.
now in September, it's a meatball po' boy. $10. Can't pass that up.
What?
$10 right now.
Luke got excited there.
I know.
Luke and I, we will pop
things.
On that.
next, this will be, you know, the first time I'm saying it. We're, for okay. next for October, it is the Boo Fry Po' Boy, which is just our French fry yep. po' boy with yep. cheese and roast beef gravy. It's
nice.
Delicious. I tried it this week. It is. It's pretty dynamite.
Okay, they convinced me, and we had our producer Charlie Long came here, and so he was like, Mike, what to get other than seafood? He said, man, because I ate seafood the last couple of days, and the lady was, oh, you got to try the roast beef.
Oh, it's so
gotta
good.
Got to try the roast beef.
It's messy, but it's good.
Good. He was like, but Mike, didn't you tell me some story? And everybody knows him, Marty Chabert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Marty, long time representative, and you know he's worked for different administrations here. And he was like, "Daddy always said, don't order meat at a seafood restaurant, and don't order seafood at a meat restaurant."
Right.
I said, "Charlie, go against that." He was like, "Man, roast beef here is really, really good.
We call
good.
It the 10 napkin roast beef.
Yes,
and
it is
will
really,
use
really
probably
good.
20, honestly, when you eat it. It is messy, but it is good. It is real good.
I enjoyed it. It was really,
so imagine
really good.
That with some French fries and the roast beef on top. It's juicy. It's good.
Oh, man.
It's delicious.
Okay, so can we get the meatballs today?
Yeah, we get you some meatballs.
The
meatballs are so good. I know you probably like meatballs, Acme Oyster House. Where does that come?
No.
It's the best.
He get the grilled fish over here, which I'm shocked at.
I do too.
That's
delicious.
That's what my husband gets. My husband gets the grilled fish all the time.
The grill, yes, anything. But the whole menu, in my opinion, is really great. It's you can whatever your taste buds are,
right.
you can get a little bit of everything.
Get a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
whatever you,
I think it's really
whether
good.
You want a salad, whether you want some char grilled oysters with some crab meat on top. If you haven't tried it that way,
it is very good.
And you know what?
It's
not overwhelming. To read it
yeah.
either, so it's like perfect. It has everything that you want, but not too
yeah.
much, but not enough.
Look, as a mom with little ones, I know what it's like to go out to eat,
yeah.
and it's like, oh, are they going to have something for them? Is everybody going to be happy?
Yeah.
Are they going to check the boxes? And without a doubt,
I mean,
we're going to have everything for everybody, whether it's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, and a 5 and 7 year old.
He can tell you. Last week. We had a young lady sitting
oh,
in front
yeah.
of us
oh.
with an ice cream deal.
The brownie sundae.
So
yes.
we were, hey, bring that over here and give us a couple
she
extra
said,
spoons.
It's so good.
She was like,
she, none
no,
of that.
No,
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 I'm not cheering.
Down. It's mine.
Not cheering.
No.
It
funny
was
story.
Really
my
good.
My
That's
husband
right.
always gets it for the kids, and I'm like, you're not getting it for them. You're getting it for yourself.
That would sound like me.
That's right. That's me too. I'm with it. I'm a sucker for a brownie and ice cream
it's
all day
It's delicious.
Long. But it was gigantor, though.
It's huge. It comes in a big mug. It's great.
Yeah, it is great. So just from another leader, from one leader to another leader, I just wanted to make sure I bring up your staff. Your staff always does a phenomenal job.
They do a
great
job.
They're
really great. Just wanted to make sure
they're awesome. I mean, it's part of the whole experience. When you go to a restaurant, you don't only just want good food. You want to know your staff. You want to know your waitress. And look, our guys, they take great care of our customers.
Yeah. Very personable,
mm-hmm.
and they get to know you
as
a person.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of separates y'all.
Yeah, thank you.
Y'all really do a great job.
No, they're wonderful over here. I mean, we have long tenured staff, and they're the best.
Yes, they are.
They're
going to
make you feel good when you walk out the door.
Awesome.
So, last thing, tell us a little bit more about exactly how to get in touch with you guys if you want to get catering done.
Absolutely. They can go to acmeoyster.com, go to catering, fill it out. We'll be in touch with them within the day. Our catering department, our sales department is top-notch. They've been doing this for years. We do many, many, many events throughout the year, whether it's fundraisers, golf tournaments, private parties, weddings. If you want a party inside the restaurant, we can do that too. We have some private dining, especially here in Baton Rouge and Metairie and French Quarter. You know, we can do it all. So they just go to acmeoyster.com,
yep.
fill out the form, give us a call at 504-835-6410, and we'll make it happen.
Miss Monique, thank you so much.
Thank you,
we
guys.
We appreciate everything you do, and your staff does a great job. And when Luke gets remarried, I know who to call.
Wait a minute.
How about that? How about that? I know exactly who to call.
Congratulations, Luke. We're going to call Acme. We're going to get you all squared away.
We're gonna have a char grill station for you. We're going to make it work.
Meatball sandwich. Boo fries. Yeah. Sandwich. We got everything you need.
Luke, the opening was just too much for me not to throw the ball through.
In 3.5 weeks in October, right before Luke's getting married.
What? You're breaking him news now. Monique, thanks so much.
Guys.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for doing this. I know it's so much fun for the staff to be here and the customers. They love it. So, yeah, thank you, guys.
That's it for this segment here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We're here at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. When we get back, we'll have on with us Miss Leanne Herring, covers the Ole Miss Rebels for the Rebel Walk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
outside of Cleveland, the Browns.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was too much. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillia along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials here at Acme Oyster House. And, man, they got all the TVs. You can watch all the games, and we see it now. It's kind of flashing in front of us. But, man, you want to get all the real details of LSU Ole Miss. Hey, you can watch it on TV, but turn down the sound. Turn the sound up here on the Big 870 WWL at 2:30, where you hear Chris Blair, Jacob Hester give you all the action right here. LSU Ole Miss. On our talk lines, we have with us on our Eyes on the Opponent segment, and it's brought to you weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems. Focused on patient care, we have on with us from Saturday Down South and the Rebel Walk, Leanne Herring. Leanne, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure. Happy game day. I thought I'd be down in Oxford for the event, but I'm out on the recruiting trail catching some of our high school prospects today in action. But, man, you know that Brian Kelly and Lane Kiffin have this one circled on. It's going to be a heated affair down in Oxford today.
What's your thoughts? Because I think the biggest surprise is once Austin Simmons went down with the ankle injury, and I had saw, I had actually watched him play Trinidad when he was at Ferris State, and he was a really good player there. Now, he's a totally different guy from Austin, who is a big man, and he was a southpaw. But to see what he's done, man, Chambliss has really played much better than I think anybody really could have expected, Leanne. But you and I were talking a little bit about this, that a lot of that recruiting part had to do with the fact not only was he a good quarterback, but they were so impressed with him, how he handled things as a basketball point guard.
That's really what opened up the door, Mike. You know, I think for Chambliss, really getting some eyes in. He didn't have a lot of offers coming out of high school football-wise, but he was a very talented basketball player. In my column on Saturday Down South, I alluded how sometimes you find the greatest surprises in the most unlikely places, and that's definitely what the Rebels found in Chambliss. when he was out at Ferris State. His coach at the time didn't even know he was going to give him a shot to play D2 football, but he saw him play basketball, and it changed the game. And like we said, went on to win a national championship for Ferris State, only lost one game out there that ultimately set him on that streak. And his speed, his agility. But, man, the biggest question, I think, for Ole Miss fans was, he going to translate, you know, that fear of the unknown? Because, sure, he put up big numbers at D2, but we all know that the Great Lakes versus SEC, a little bit different ball game. It's a big boy club. But, man, Chambliss over his two starts from Arkansas and Tulane, I think he's more than proven the high ceiling that he can provide for Ole Miss. And I really think that that's what Lane Kiffin is doing here, going with the hotter hand in Chambliss. I think that he just gives the Rebel offense not only higher ceilings, but because of his strong rushing ability. I mean, he's already had 195 yards and two touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, he really is a true dual threat quarterback, and I think that Ole Miss is going to need that kind of firepower when it comes to facing a tough LSU defense that's really carried him, especially in that secondary.
One of the things, Leanne, is I think everybody in the offseason sort of wondered how this team would react. Very few teams have three defensive linemen selected in the draft, and then Jared was signed as an undrafted free agent. You lose four guys up front along the defensive line. That is difficult to replace.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of give everybody a little bit of a detail on kind of from what you've seen, how they've been able to replace. You can't replace a Walter Nolan. Last year, he spent more time in the backfield in LSU when they played in that game than Garrett Nussmeier.
Right.
I mean, every play, LSU's offensive line were like, man, this guy is unbelievable.
He
don't look like the same dude that we played against Texas A&M.
Nope.
And that's why he was a first-team All-American last year. And then, you know, you had Robert and Jared and J.J. Fergies also part of that group. And to replenish that is really difficult. And they've done it a little differently because most of the guys up front, they weren't from the portal, correct?
Mm.
The portal is a lot of young guys. You know, I'm going to be realistic here. The defense has taken a step back. They lost, like you said, a lot of talent. I mean, those names that you mentioned there, gentlemen, that's a tough act to follow. But I think Randall Joyner and Pete Golding on that defensive side of the ball have really used that next man up mentality. I mean, what Centarian Perkins has been able to do, TJ Dodgery, you know, the pass defense has really excelled, even though they don't have that strong cast of characters. And the secondary that has really gone deep for Ole Miss with young guys like Cam Franklin at the edge, Princewell, Will Echols has been an instrumental kid right there from the sixth, you know, out of Houston, Mississippi. A lot of young guys have really stepped up and just really pushed forward and really, you know, taking the cards with the hand that they're dealt. They've taken a step back. But even in taking that step back, yes, that run defense has been a major issue heading into this game against LSU, allowing about 5.1 yards per carry, 195 yards. You know, you look at the numbers, it's not something you want to see. But I think overall, despite the lack of players returning and having to replenish and really retool what they're doing, they've done a nice job in working what they got. But I really believe these young guys that have kind of been sitting and waiting in the wings, like a Cam Franklin, like a Will Echols, you know, have really been able to watch and to kind of be the understudy. These aren't new guys coming in from high school that are being pressed in a fresh system. They've been there this offseason. They've got to watch under these guys. Even though we haven't seen them on action until now, they've had the opportunity to really learn the system, to really be around, and I think that that's why it's going to be effective. But I think that they've done a nice job in being able to step up, but I really got to hand it to the secondary. It's really deep this season. I think that that's also going to be a game changer in this game today.
Yeah, Leanne, it's going to be, you know, all the things you just talked about is just magnificent, and it makes, you know, this whole game really exciting to really get, you know, everybody excited to watch it. My question for you is, in this game, we have that, again, I'm going to go back to the spread, the 1.5 points favored for Ole Miss. Why is that? Why do you think that is the case? Is it because they're playing at Ole Miss? Do you think it's because LSU doesn't really play that well during the day games? Do you think it's because LSU's offense has not been what people want it to be, quote unquote? It's been good enough to win games, as I'm all good with that. So what do you think that is in that spread?
Well, if I was Vegas, I feel like in this one, because I feel like it's a toss-up. I felt like somebody threw a coin and said, hey, whoever wins, this is who's going to be the favorite because the margin is so close. I think it's in so this close. One, you know, I think that with Lane Kiffin, he doesn't want to go back to what happened last year down in Death Valley, having such a close game. These games have set the trajectory. We know that, you know, what happened at Kentucky, what happened at LSU, what happened at Florida put a damper and basically cut the dreams for Ole Miss. I don't think Lane Kiffin wants to do that again. I don't think he wants to be embarrassed. I think a lot of this game has to do with what we talk about. You as a player know those things outside of the X and O's, what outside of the analytics. Both teams have watched the film. They know what's coming from them. They play. This may be a different cast of characters, but Brian Kelly knows what Lane Kiffin's going to have up his sleeve to a degree and vice versa. These teams know each other inside out, even though there's different players. They know what their tendencies. I think this is going to be, gentlemen, a tick-for-tack kind of ball. You know, who can exploit each other's weaknesses? Because both these teams come in with weaknesses. For LSU, you know, it comes with, is Garrett Neusmeyer going to be able to open up that ground game? We've seen what LSU has of weapons with their arsenal, with the wide receivers, Berrien Brown, you know, a lot of key guys. But it's this ground game. Are they going to be able to do that? And is Ole Miss defense strong enough at home, even with all those things, four things that we've mentioned, going to be able to explode? And I really think that that's why this game is so tough. You know, I want to say that Ole Miss is going to win this one out, and they're going to do, I think it's going to be who can exploit each other's weaknesses and play to their strengths. So I really think that it's anybody's toss-up, whether we were playing back again. But I think it's going to be who shows up today, who's going to be more consistent. I think that the ground game is going to be key in this one as far as the offensive side of the ball. If, you know, you got two really explosive offenses. Honestly, it's about winning a ball game here. So I think this one is going to be which team plays consistently, gets that ground game consistent, but who's going to exploit each other's weakness the best and the quickest and going to keep it along for four quarters. You know, so I don't think this is going to be a crystal ride because Ole Miss is playing in the afternoon, because they are the favorite, because they're playing at the Vaught. We've all seen, you know, in the last 24 hours, what happens on the road, you know, what happens with the winner, you know, I mean, yesterday alone between watching that late night Houston game, watching Virginia take down Florida State, you know, all these different things, anything can happen. So I don't think this is a done deal, even though Vegas favors Ole Miss. I like that we're in Oxford. I think there's a comfortability. I think the energy, but again, it's a day game. It's not like playing the night game in Death Valley. But I really think, gentlemen, it's going to come down to, it's going to be a tick for a tack. Whoever exploits each other's weaknesses the best consistently establishes this run game. And whoever's defense, you know, I think the secondary is going to be key in this one. Like I talked about, A.J. Halsey, former player out of Houston. He's a name that we haven't talked a lot about as far as, you know, on this side. But he's the guy that's going to be there. And he's, those, you know, those DBs in the backfield are going to give Chambliss a, you know, a tough time. As athletic as Chambliss is, and we know what kind of abilities he is, A.J. Halsey is that guy. He's a ball hawk. And with Chambliss still being so young, he's got those growing pains, even though he's done great through these things. So I think there's a lot of key moments, but I really think that these secondaries for both these teams are going to be a big factor in this. And I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But again, I think it's going to be a battle of who exploits each other's weaknesses and plays to their strengths for four quarters of football down in Oxford today.
Just don't throw the football at Delane.
No.
That's all I'm telling you.
Don't do it.
Other teams have learned, if you're going to test anybody, go on the other side where PJ is, Woodland, and he hasn't given up a lot either. But these games have been crazy. I remember 2 years ago, Jaden was there and had a shot at the end.
Yeah, he did.
And it hit Chris Hilton in a bad place right between the hands.
Uh-huh.
And he got hit, and you know, he didn't make the catch. And then last year, it shocked me. I mean, to leave that stadium, how did Ole Miss not win that game?
Right.
I mean, other than the catch, Neusmeyer, God bless him, Kyron Lacy, makes that catch in the end zone for the score. But Ole Miss, to me, dominated that game, but it wasn't on the scoreboard at all. This has been some crazy games between LSU and Ole Miss, especially the last four games.
Yeah.
No doubt, and I think a lot of what I talked about last year, you know, we put it in the rear view. You got to look forward, different ball club, different team, different season. But I think a lot of the stuff, like what you talked about, Ole Miss should have won that game. They translated, but it didn't translate onto that scoreboard because there was a lot of missed opportunities. And I think, again, this is going to, as much as we want to look at the macro picture in this matchup, it's going to come down to details. You know, who's going to limit, you know, the other team's third down conversions? How are we going to get into the red zone quick? And I think that begins in the ground game. I really think that as much as I want to see those explosive offenses that we see from LSU that they're known for, you know, I think in games like this, you shy away from the passing attack. It's not going to be, I really think that even though both these teams bring a loaded game of receivers, and you're going to want to see them chunk them down. There's just some plays that you're going to have to chunk it down the field, get some yardage, get momentum. But I really think that this is going to be a ground game. And I think it's going to be who's going to outlast, like I said, and who's going to exploit each other's weaknesses. But I think for Ole Miss, they're going to have to play a clean ball game. They're going to have to be focused. Chambliss, like I said, he's extremely athletic. He's got a rare ability. He gives a lot of ceilings, but again, he's still very young. He's played some strong games against Arkansas and Tulane, but I think what he's going to face against LSU, as far as he thinks outside of the X's and O's, are going to be tough. This is going to be a test for him. We're really going to see, can this kid, and I believe that this kid can. I think the way he commands himself on the field, I think the way the players buy into him will be a big, has been a big deal in his success. They go out there and they battle for him, and I think that that's really what's brought together the this line for him, and I think that's why he's been able to operate. But again, this is a tough matchup. This is a bad blood kind of thing, and we all know that this has, someone's going to go home no longer undefeated. This is going to set the trajectory for how the SEC plays out. With everyone dropping like flies, this is a big game outside of just the rivalry of the Magnolia Bowl itself. But I think it's going to be a fun match to watch. I'm excited to watch it today.
Leanne, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate when you come on. Great insights, and I know it's a busy day for you, but thanks so much for joining us here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show.
Appreciate it, gentlemen. Toddy, toddy.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it, Leanne.
Thank you.
That's our Eyes on the Opponent segment. It's brought to you weekly.
Now, Miss Leanne and I got to talk about this hottie toddy thing. Now, she can't be saying it like that, no.
Yeah, she can say it. I got her on.
That's right.
We'll be good. So, our Eyes on the Opponent segment is brought to you weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems. Focus on patient care. So, I want to thank everybody, Greg Stock, and everybody at Thibodaux Regional Health System. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show.
That's right.
Mike to tell you along with the legendary
Tyler
here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Man, they got a great crowd coming in.
Coming in,
Some
as always.
Some online visitors here at Acme Oyster House. And, again, we want to thank MAP Construction, too, our presenting sponsor. Each and every week here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate Show, Matt Built, Built Beyond, also too. Never know who you meet out here.
Never know who you run into.
Run into old Bayou buddy of mine, Carl Johnson, NFL referee. Him and his wife came here to come meet at Acme Oyster House.
Yeah.
So great to talk to Carl for a few minutes.
And, now look, Carl and I had a conversation inside the conversation that we were having with you, of course. And he said that, of course, every catch that's been made in the NFL, especially the one, I forget what game that was. I think it was the Saints. And he said that it was a catch.
You believe that?
I don't know. I just, in my mind,
I'm
that's the conversation
you,
we had.
I'm
just throwing that out there now.
But damn well there ain't no catch.
All of them were catches, okay? He said the Saints should be undefeated right now.
Yeah,
there's
right.
no way,
Come on, y'all both stretching the rubber band here. But tomorrow, hey, we started up early on our Saints coverage.
That's right.
Here on the Big 870, first take at 8 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock, countdown to kickoff. Steve Geller, Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, myself.
Ooh, Bobby.
We take it to noontime, and then at noontime, hey, turn down the sound. You can watch it on TV, but turn the sound up on Big 870 WWL. Let the home team give you all the play-by-play action. Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes, Jeff Nowak, sideline reporting, give you all the action. And then afterwards, Bobby breaks it down in his unique way of how the game went out.
Unique, specific, and very highly intelligent.
And long.
It's definitely going to be long.
Thinking about today, what's your feeling, Alabama, Georgia? You know why? Kirby Smart has had difficulties against Alabama. He's 1-6 in the seven games. Now, people say that's because of Saban. Well, Nick wasn't on the sidelines last year.
No, he wasn't.
What happened now? So But the home team, Georgia, has, man, a huge streak winning in Athens. Your thoughts on Alabama-Georgia?
You know, it's such a weird – that this game today, specifically Alabama-Georgia, is a weird game because Georgia is who they are, but they're not quite who they are, and Alabama isn't who they normally are, but they kind of almost will be. And so I think they're both kind of colliding at the same time in the same space of who, where they are, you know, in the program, as a program. Georgia, to me, is kind of not coming down, but they're not really ascending at the same time. But I think Alabama actually is ascending right now. And I think you're going to see an Alabama team come out that's going to give Georgia all they want over there in Athens. And I think that if Ty Simpson can play the way that he is shown over the past couple of weeks, I think Alabama has a really great chance of winning this game. Now, Alabama, I do believe, also has better skill position players than Georgia.
That I agree with.
And so in that, I think that if Alabama can control the line of scrimmage and get the balls out to the, you know, their receivers and they have their running backs play the way they do, catch the ball out of the backfield, I think Georgia's going to have their hands full in Athens, and Alabama will come out with a win today. And I don't want to say that, but I think that's what's going to happen.
I talked to Pete Jenkins, and he made this comment to me. He said, Georgia isn't as good on defense, but how could they be over the last 3 or 4 years? Every one of them cats is playing in the NFL.
That's right.
He was like, okay, you can't lose all that talent and say, well, we're just going to replenish it, all this idiotic next man up stuff. He said, come on, you know that don't work.
It don't work like that, especially in the age of NIL now.
Correct.
And paying the guys now. So, you know, and pay for play, if you want to call it that. You can't just, you know, get all of the five stars and then say, yes, we got them out. No, they're all spread out everywhere. And guys are moving around in this portal, things like that. So it's different. It's a different landscape in college football.
Different world.
So how do you develop the players you have on your team this year and to get them to play the very best that they can this year? Because you don't know if everybody may leave next year. You never know. Or you may have a different group of guys. And when I say leave, meaning go to a different school, not go to NFL. Or you may have a different rotation of guys that come in that's either high school and or from a different school as well through the portal. So, it's really crazy and it's really tough. And I think that's one of the reasons why Dabo is struggling the way that he is, because he's not embraced it. But I think Kirby is one of those people who truly embraces it. But I just don't know if they know how to, you know, function within it. And so we'll see.
Because you lose so much. Man, if I ain't playing, man, I'm leaving.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. I'm going to leave Alabama to go play somewhere else. I'm going to leave Georgia to go play somewhere else. So.
Yeah, you have the opportunity. Now, way back in the days when I played, there was no opportunity to do that. And, sometimes the older players that we say, well, you know, you got to be dedicated to whatever. Yeah, you got to be dedicated to yourself.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, because when we were stuck at or whatever school we were stuck at, and I say stuck, but when you didn't have an option to, like, if you weren't playing and you had an option to go somewhere but you couldn't because they refused to allow you to go, then how can you maneuver moving forward? You can't be who you want to be. So I think it's a good thing for the players to get an opportunity to move around so they can showcase themselves.
We'll finish it off here on our Gulf Coast Bank & Trust Tiger Tailgating Show for hour number two right after this break. Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We got a half an hour more. We taking this till 12:30. Hey, keep you dialed, tuned into the Big 870 WWL. More Tiger Tailgating and LSU football at 2:30 this afternoon.
Mike the TA.
Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay and the legendary Herb Tyler here. We at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge.
That's
come
right.
On by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials. We got TVs all across the board. If you want to watch the games right before LSU plays Ole Miss, and that'll be at 2:30 this afternoon, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL.
That's right.
Hey, you can watch it on TV, but turn the sound down. Listen to the home team, Chris Blair, Jacob Hester, give you all the action right here on the Big 870 WWL at 2:30. And remind everybody, tomorrow We start our Saints pregame show at 8 o'clock at First Take. Mm-hmm. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, taking care of things at 8 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, it'll be countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Steve Geller, myself. We take it till 12 noon and then Deuce, Hoss, and Jeff Nowak give you all the action between the Saints and the Buffalo Bills.
The first win of the season, baby. We're going to Buffalo and we're coming back with a win.
Herb, how much money you want to lose?
I got about $13.
Put dollars up, and I'll buy you food next week. How about that? I'll buy you dinner.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay,
let's do it. Saints is going to win 400-6.
Our keys to the game segment brought to you weekly by Hug and Haul Equipment Company. Hug and Haul Equipment Company. They've been in business since 1956. Hug and Haul Company is the leading equipment dealer in Arkansas, Oklahoma for many years.
Yes.
Now in Louisiana. On our we have on with us from Locked On SEC, Chris Gordy. Christopher, on with us this afternoon, but I know it's a busy day. Great to have you back with us.
Absolutely, guys. I'll tell you what, I'll buy Herb a Ferrari if the Saints pull off that win.
Man, I might get a little Ferrari.
Just so you know, I like my Ferrari's blue, okay? That's it, just so you know. That's all you need.
You ain't got to worry about it. You're in good shape now.
Somebody's got to be positive about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Herb's always positive. I do give him that. He's not as positive as but nobody could be on that particular part. Chris, when you look at this game, and we've talked about the contrasting styles of the high-powered Ole Miss offense, LSU's defense has really been the story this year. So much improvement in the secondary, and they've gotten a good pass rush also. First of all, the loss of Gabe Relaford, because I thought Gabe was really playing well.
He was.
That's a big knock. But now you actually have some depth on this football team that you have not had the last couple of years. We saw Shanklin come in, true freshman. Yep. Man, that dude can play. Yep. I know one thing, he can rush the quarterback. So my thing is, it's which team is going to make the big mistake.
That's right.
I think that's right. Is going to be the key here.
Or who can make the less amount of mistakes.
The least amount of mistakes, as Herb would say.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the story of this game is what does LSU's offense do with the football? I mean, I feel pretty good about the defense getting some stops. And, you know, it's not going to be one of those 40 or 42 shootouts, I don't think. You know, I think the LSU defense is going to do their job. But when they get the ball back and hand it to the offense, what do? And to me, I just feel like in Oxford, you got to get 6 points. Field goals ain't going to win this game. So, you know, I'll buy into they played it close to the vest the first few weeks with the injury to Nussmeier and all that. But, man, okay, it was Southeastern last week. We saw some big explosive plays. It's time to take that in Oxford because we saw Arkansas move the football pretty well on Ole Miss's defense. This isn't the defensive unit that Ole Miss had last year. All those guys are in the NFL, from Princely Amadiellen to Walter Nolan, name after name after name. To me, the story of this game is can LSU's offense, you know, move the football and convert? And honestly, a big test for the offensive line, especially if Caden Durham isn't going in this one. They've got to protect Nuss. They've got to be able to move the chains. Juwan Johnson, big game for him. So I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see maybe Harlan Berry plays a little bit of a bigger role this week.
Chris, you sort of read my mind. I was going to ask you about that because I think there's a game here similar to what happened with Caden a year ago where Harlem gets an opportunity and it becomes a dual backfield between him and Caden. I'm wondering if it's this game because we've seen Harlan Berry and just kind of spurts of him, his speed, his quickness, but it's his eye vision, his ability to find the right hole and two feet up the field. And you better get a glove on him and fast. If not, you're not going to catch him.
He's
and also,
be gone.
His ability to catch the ball coming out of the backfield is so critical.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's, you know, that's a role that, okay, if you don't trust this offensive line, as Herb knows, you know, your best friend is a dump off, whether it be a tight end, whether it be a running back. How much do they run screens this week? You know, get that ball out quick. Mm-hmm. So Nuss isn't a sitting duck back there and get knocked down. I mean, guys, it's one thing to get sacked. It's another to have teams like Southeastern and Louisiana Tech getting to Nuss. I mean, that's just that scares the hell out of you with this offensive line.
Right.
So, to me, I'm with you, Mike. Yeah, Harlan Berry. Look, and even Caden Durham at times, man, wasn't choosing the right holes. And again, maybe that's lack of trust for the offensive line. But I just like what we saw out of Juwan Johnson and him running last week. He and Harlan Berry, I think, can be a difference maker this week.
I agree. I thought that Juwan really saw the field really very, very well. You know, one thing that's been missing out is LSU offense this year has been the deep ball. You know, and I don't know if it's, you know,
Chris Hilton's got to be a bigger player.
I was going to get to that. It's is the deep ball not going well because of Nuss's ab injury, or is it because our guys are just not, we're not able to get to that situation to be able to get the ball down the field? What are your thoughts on that?
I think this receiving corps is too damn talented to not be stretching the field. I mean, you know, from Aaron Anderson to, you know, my wife went to Kentucky. I watched Berry and Brown play. That guy's got electric speed. Xavier Thomas is great. Yep. I mean, but the Chris Hilton one, you know, my buddy Chris Marler was telling me he was at Media Days, and he asked Chris Hilton, which game are you looking forward to most this year? He said Ole Miss. So this is the one that Chris Hilton wants to show up and show out in. I also wonder, guys, is there a little bit of a tribute to Lacey from last year? You know, do they come out and say, we want to go out and show Kyron some love? And of course, he was the hero in this game last year. Do they come out and show some tribute to Kyron Lacey in this one? So I'm with you. I want to see big explosive plays, and I want to see that ball stretched down the field.
Chris, one of the things with Kiwan Lacey at running back, Herb and I spoke about this. You know, in Lane Kiffin, I think a lot of times it gets overlooked that he really likes to run the ball.
He loves to run the football.
Yeah, and I think over the last 4 years, I think they have led the SEC in attempts 3 of the 4 years. Last year wasn't as good. And maybe because that dude that was running it for a couple of years, he took off to Ohio State.
Ohio State. That's right.
So I get that. He got paid a few more dollars to go. And listen, nothing wrong, but that's the way the world is.
That's how it is.
But I think a big thing for LSU, that defensive front's going to get tested here. With Ole Miss having a commitment to running the ball with Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, look, I said last year I thought Ole Miss missed the playoffs because they lost Quinshon Judkins to the portal. Had they had Quinshon, that would have been a 10-2 team, and they would have been in the playoffs. You know, they tried to piece some things together. Obviously, Logan Diggs was hurt all year, transferred in from LSU. So, but Kiwan Lacey is a guy that sat at Mizzou, and last I checked, Eli Drinkwitz has done a pretty damn good job of finding talent at the running back spot. He hit the portal, comes over to Ole Miss, and he's been a godsend for them. I mean, he's been, you know, over 350 yards rushing so far, and you know, a couple hundred yard games already. So he's been great. Combine that with Trinidad Chambliss and his running ability. Look, you know, we talked about it all offseason, Mike. LSU slowing down the running quarterbacks was a problem last year. They haven't really faced
it
yet.
Huge
Klubnik
problem.
Klubnik didn't really run. Lagway didn't really run. So they're going to have to try to shut down Trinidad Chambliss. If they can take that away and shorten the big runs from Kiwan Lacey, that's going to give them the best shot to win today.
Agreed. And, you know, I think the way Mike and I kind of talked about that, the way you try to slow him down is by spying him. But what you don't want to do is stifle your defense to where you're just focused on that only. Now, here's another thing. What are your thoughts on special teams? Mike and I kind of talked about that as well earlier. Like, it's one of those things where the special teams today, somebody's got to be able to make a play for one of these teams that's going to be huge, that's going to maybe, you know, swing the tide or turn the tide, if you will, in this game and really have an impactful sort of play. Which one of these teams you think has the better special teams play out of the LSU and Ole Miss?
Well, the Ole Miss kicker is perfect on the season so far. He's he's been really good. He's hit a couple long ones. I mean, he's been outstanding for him. I think he's actually missed one. It was a 50-yard attempt, but outside of that, he's been outstanding. So that certainly is one to watch. And to go back real quick, you talked about spying Chambliss. That's a worry for me for a guy like Harold Perkins, because if you just assign him that, they got a big body tight end for Daquan Wright, who is really, really good at stretching the field, and he's dangerous when he gets the ball in his hand. So I would just watch that. If you're playing Perkins and say, hey, wherever Chambliss goes, you go, watch that tight end leaking out and getting some big plays down the field, because Daquan Wright is really a dangerous guy at tight end.
Agreed.
Tre'Davious Green being available today, because, okay, there's nobody out there that's going to cover a 6'7" part wide receiver, part tight end. He gives you that element, short yardage red zone, that very few teams have. And I think Green becomes a big factor today because he's available, and he is just an athletic mismatch that nobody can guard. But, you know, now with all that speed you have on the outside, it opens up so many avenues for Tre'Davious.
It really does. And I was down on the field prior to the Florida game a couple weeks ago, and he came over and said hello to somebody who was standing next to me. And just seeing him physically in person standing next to him, he's just a physical freak. I mean, it's not just the height. It's the size. Yeah. I mean, his body, he's wide. You can see why he's such an easy red zone target. Yeah, don't get it wrong. That'll be huge. If he's back out there today, you know, that's a guy that we talked about as, you know, could be a 9-10 touchdown season for him because he's such a big red zone threat. So, yeah, he just helps open up so much, you know, especially in one-on-one matchups. If Ole Miss elects to put him one-on-one with one of their DBs, like I said, they've got some okay DBs, but they are largely unproven. And, again, the big guy that they all want to exploit. No offense to the kid, but Sage Ryan was a part of one of the worst LSU secondaries we've seen, and now he's a starting safety in the secondary for Ole Miss. Look, I'm just telling you, LSU's going to be looking where Sage Ryan is in that secondary.
I agree with you, Trey. I agree with you, Chris.
And they're going to go after him, too. They ain't going to just be looking.
Time and time again. Now, he's got to make a play. He's got to make a play, but I think LSU's going to try to target him. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great to have you on with us. And, man, back-to-backers. LSU Ole Miss and then Georgia Alabama. Pretty damn good day for SEC football.
That's right.
Anytime, fellas. And, hey, that Ferrari's coming your way, all right? If the Saints get that win.
I'll be home Thursday morning from 10 to 12 waiting on it, baby.
You'll be waiting almost like like that dog waiting for the master to come home, to speak, back from work.
Or the dog waiting at the door so you go shovel the snow. See, you say that, slow down. You see how I did that, Mike?
I see that, but if you didn't shovel it for the poor dog the last time.
I did shovel it.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it. Hey, our Keys to the Game segment is brought to you by Hug and Haul Equipment Company. Been in business since 1956. Hug and Haul Equipment Company is the leading equipment dealer in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and now in the state of Louisiana. We'll be back to finish it up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We're finishing up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show.
That's right.
Mike DeTelli along with Herb Tyler. We're here back at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials here. And also, too, if you need any catering, you can give them a call here at Acme. They can take care of that for you. Also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb, you think the one big key this afternoon for LSU to get a victory, and don't tell me score more points.
You got to stop the other team from scoring points. That's
correct.
The biggest thing right there.
I agree.
That's how do we play defense? How do we stifle Ole Miss's offense is going to be key. And then, you know, how creative are we going to be on offense? Are we going to get creative with, you know, with the run game, with the pass game, short pass game, with some screen plays, things like that? I think it's going to be huge for us to be successful. And then the other thing I think is just blocking out all the noise and just moving on and playing the game. Who cares if it's a 2:30 game? Who cares if you're number 4, they're number 13? None of that matters. Just play the game within the field, within the lines, and then do what you do. And I think LSU actually has the better team.
That I believe. I know the home team has won the last four games. Mm-hmm. And you could say last year, I think maybe Ole Miss had the better team.
They did.
But didn't end up winning the game.
Correct.
When it was all said and done. My thing is turnovers. I think that, to me, is the key in this game. If you can force some turnovers by Chambliss, if it's interception or fumble, I think that will be the big key for LSU.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they can do that. And I think they have the talent to do that and the coaching that's going to scheme the defense in order to make that happen.
So, Trinidad, throw the football toward Mansir Delane today.
All of them. Throw it toward all of them. And just throw it right to them.
You know? Hey, thank you for listening. Hey, it was great to be here.
Awesome.
At our Tiger Tailgating Show, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Thank you for listening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.